Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Clint Sterner's Football at 4.
All right, we heard from Texans head coach DeMeco Ryans, and boy, was it beautiful. One, I greatly appreciate the delivery show. I greatly appreciate DeMeco Ryans' ability to just sit back, toes up, get lobbed up a couple of questions, and my man just damn near thoughtlessly responds and gives us a little something to chew on, man.
Now, he could be, you know, I think all of these guys are professional liars for the most part.
Well, because he's
they have
good
to,
at it.
Because they have to.
Sure.
But he comes off genuine as hell every time.
Yeah. 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 Some guys are just, it's a skill. It's just an intangible to be able to answer questions, give a little bit of meat to chew on, but obviously don't pull the curtain all the way back to behind, show everybody what's going on behind closed doors. Anyway, DeMeco Ryans, he spoke and he answered a million questions, but a couple of them stood out big time to me. I think one of the biggest questions here in Houston, in all of sports, is what do the Texans do with the number 2 overall pick in this year's draft? And I think for the most part, most folks believe it's going to be Bryce Young. I don't know how Carolina passes on Bryce Young, if I'm being honest with you, and allows him to get to number 2, but I hope like hell they do. Here's DeMeco Ryans, the head coach for the Houston Texans, talking specifically about Bryce Young and, more specifically, the one flaw that concerns fans the most.
For Bryce, and I know it's a lot going on to talk about his size, the guy's done it at the highest level in college football, and it doesn't seem to be – size hasn't seemed to be a problem. I don't see it as an issue because I watch the tape. You put on the tape and you see the kid play. You see, you know, how smart he is. You see the anticipation. You see the accuracy. You see, you know, how this guy is calm in critical moments. So when you see those things, you know, size isn't one of the factors that pop up on tape. It's like, oh, man, it's a problem. You just look at the track record, see what he's done. Highest level college football, he's been successful. And I think he'll be successful in the NFL as well.
First of all, I need everybody in the background to pipe down a little bit when the head coach is talking. I need everybody to pipe down a little bit while the head coach is talking, number one. The reason I like this show is one, I'm a big believer in Bryce Young, and if the Texans get him, I'm going to be really, really excited. But when you hear DeMeco Ryans talking about Bryce Young, when he says, you know, when you turn on the film, it's about what shows up. And one thing that doesn't show up is his size being a problem. And when I hear that, I think there's several fronts several layers to that, right? Clearly, he didn't stay injured the way that most people are concerned his frame will end up costing him to do in the NFL. He didn't stay injured. He got injured on a little shoulder injury and a little fluke thing on the sideline. Had nothing to do with his size whatsoever. That number two, like you watch his film, you know, batted balls don't pop up much. I've watched a lot of Bryce Young, and I'm sure there's a handful of batted balls, defensive linemen swatting pass, but I don't recall it being like taking the wind out of your sails, being like, damn, man, You know,
yeah, this is killing him.
Never a problem, show. And then when you look at a lot of smaller quarterbacks, a lot of inexperienced quarterbacks, you know, they struggle with processing and they struggle throwing the football over the middle of the field. Some of Bryce Young's best work has been within 10 to 12 yards of the line of scrimmage over the middle of the field. So when you talk about size being a problem, if that's the one flaw that folks want to keep pointing to, you can take it from anybody that's watched this film or watched him play a lot, or you can just take it from the Texans head coach who just simply told you, hey, man, size just – when you watch his tape, size is just not a problem.
That's interesting because we talked about Caleb Williams, I think, off-air last week, and you said, yeah, Caleb Williams is just a bigger version of Bryce.
Yep.
And we were talking about this earlier, and a texter sent something in, and I wanted to say, I saved it in my head, are you sure that Bryce's size is his only flaw right now? For you and everything you've watched, because that's what I see.
Yeah.
Because to me, everything else, he can do everything. Obviously, man, maybe he can't throw the ball 75 yards on a line like Anthony Richardson can, but I don't know how often that is something that happens. Or that somebody has to use. But is that size, is that his lone flaw to you right now?
Yes.
Coming out?
Yes, absolutely. That's the lone flaw for me that people can point at. I don't think it's a flaw. We've made that point. I've made that point. I don't think it's a flaw at all. I don't think it's real. I think it's low-hanging fruit, and it's something that folks can point at. And it's somewhat bulletproof because even if you start out with your debate, if you will, of boy, his size is a major problem, and people will push back and say, well, he actually throws the ball over the middle of the field better than any other quarterback in college football, and he does this and that well. You do like D'Amico just said, and you say, hey, look, it doesn't show up on film. Well, then you can always push back. Yeah, but man, at that size, if a 300-pound defensive lineman falls on him, he's more apt to get hurt than a 6'3", 220. So it's almost a bulletproof argument if you are in that spot with Bryce Young where, boy, the size is just a major flaw. You can't say that a 6'3", 220 obviously is going to be more durable if you just put him in a car accident on a daily basis than 5'11", 200. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's obviously... But that's if you're building your team around, well, I hope my quarterback can take an absolute beating, you ain't winning no damn game anyway.
Yeah, so I think Tua's really hurt him.
Yeah.
The situation with Tua has really hurt him. And then just the lack of nuance in the conversation, right? So, like I said it before, like I'll be honest, the one thing with him is, like, you know what his flaw is. It's hard to do a lot of improvements on his flaw. But I think when the conversation that needs to be more nuanced is – we also have to understand, like, he does an exceptional job up to this point of avoiding the takeout shots or the type of shots that you would get injured with, right?
Yeah.
And I think Lamar has done it too, and we can see, like, he's had a couple of kind of freakish things. But Russell Wilson, another one who's concerned about his size.
Kyler's great.
Kyler hurt himself with nobody touching him. Like, but those guys and I'm telling you, from what I've watched, Clint, I know you've seen the same thing, if not better, Bryce is really good at it. Bryce is really good at falling away, turning his body, moving, getting out of bounds, getting down. Like, even when you hit him, he doesn't allow you to get really good shots. And I think that has to be a part of the size conversation. Because height, I think you've been one who's proven that as much. You said yourself, there's never been a height issue with me throwing the ball and what I'm seeing over. You see through windows.
Yep.
I think it's the weight part of it. And I think that has to be taken into context and not just treating him like he's Tua, who is awful at it. He is horrible at it.
I think if you play a reckless brand of football is basically what you're saying. If you couple a small, thin frame with a reckless brand of ball, then you're going to be in trouble. And he just doesn't do that. I think Zach Wilson in New York, I think he's got a little bit of that in him with some narrow shoulders and plays a reckless brand of ball and takes too many hits and, you know, that kind of thing. I just don't think that Bryce Young is that guy. Here's what I'll say about And I love, and I agree with you wholeheartedly, by the way, that Tua has, fair or unfair, Tua has created a lot of, he's created problems for smaller quarterbacks in the league. But for me, as I'm having a conversation about Bryce Young and his size, right? The minute somebody throws Tua in my face, I'm giving them Drew Brees, right? I'm giving them Drew Brees. I'm going to give them another small quarterback that Russ, played for 42 years and stayed healthy enough to do things nobody ever did in the game, right? In terms of throwing for 5,000 yards so many years and just his completion percentage and winning rate and all that. So for every Tua, you know, every conversation that involves Tua to create a negative connotation around the size, there's a handful of guys, you just named another one, Russell Wilson, that you can throw in there and go, well, these dudes are small as well, and they stayed relatively healthy their entire career. So I just love hearing from D'Amico Rines. I think D'Amico taking the time to answer specifics about Bryce Young. I don't know how telling it is. I still right now show you done bet your name and a damn tattoo on them taking Bryce Young at number two. I'm gonna be honest with you. It wouldn't it wouldn't shock me at all if Nick, well, no, it wouldn't surprise me if the Panthers took him, and it damn sure wouldn't surprise me at all if Nick decided that he was gonna go a different route and wait on the quarterback situation.
Yeah, I won't let
that. I hope you're right, and I don't think they should, but yeah, it wouldn't. Nothing with Nick is gonna surprise me. Here's the deal. D'Amico Rines spoke at the owners meeting, and he didn't just speak about Bryce Young. He also talked about two players that the Texans have added to the roster this year that I think are the more notable names and resumes, if you will, that have been added to this year's roster. Let's start with defensive back, safety, nickel defender, really a utility defensive back, if you will, Jimmy Ward. Here's D'Amico Rines, Texans head coach, on the new ad of DB Jimmy Ward.
Of course, no, everyone knows Jimmy wants to play safety, but in talking to Jimmy last year, I was told him, like, you know, when you play the nickel position and you can play the safety position, it just opens up a lot more avenues for you, and that's what it's done for Jimmy. And, you know, Jimmy he's been very fun to work with because he jumped into that nickel role and he thrived in the role, made probably more plays than he's made playing safety. So Jimmy he can play anywhere, but I'm going to play him at safety.
Right there at the end, show, I like that. I'm going to play him at safety. I love the thought with this secondary, with Dez King being your nickel defender, Jalen Petrie and Jimmy Ward being your safeties, Derek Stingley Jr. and Steven Nelson being your corners. Can you upgrade? Maybe, yeah, somewhere along the line you can. You can always upgrade, always get better. But I like those. Nowadays, when you talk about secondary, it needs to be about five defensive backs, not four. And I really like the five that the Texans can roll out there if, indeed, D'Amico Rines is going to play Jimmy Ward at safety.
Yeah, and for me it is – in particular, the three there, the two safeties and King, who is more of a nickelback, but also has shown versatility to be able to step out and play corner. What I love the potential of what Matt Burke and what, more importantly, the head coach, D'Amico Rines, can do potentially with those guys in the back end, because the safeties can both play deep. First coming in, we thought that Petrie was a kid that was just going to play around the line of scrimmage. Thought he may be a potential to be a guy that's a nickel back. But no, he played deep safety and played that really well. Then you look at Ward, you think, all right, is he going to be a safety or is he going to be playing nickel like he did last year? He's been versatile where he can play up front as a nickel. He can play deep. He can play in the box. And Des King can do the same. I think that is going to be a potential fun thing for him to play with, not to mention the speed he has at linebacker, too, with the different things that he can do to confuse offensive coaches and quarterbacks. That's a big thing.
Great point, brother. I love the number one thing for, you know, guys that play in and around the line of scrimmage, man, and really any defensive player, instincts is number one for me. All three of those guys you just mentioned have crazy instincts. They really show up when they're at or near the line of scrimmage. It's going to be fun to watch D'Amico Rines get creative with those guys. All right, on the offensive side of the football, the Texans added former Cowboys tight end Dalton Schultz. Here's Texans head coach D'Amico Rines on his new tight end.
I think Dalton has shown that he can make some plays in the passing game, in the vertical passing game. So I'm excited to add him. I think he's tight end is very quarterback friendly position, right? Easy completions. Dalton has done a really good job of expanding his game and becoming a better blocker as well. So I think all around we got a quality starting tight end in Dalton.
I like the part about a quarterback's best friend. I agree. I mean, you get a tight end that's that close to the
You've
box.
Always said that.
Yeah, man. I just think when the chemistry's right, man, it is the weapon a tight end is, show, in terms of beating the pressure, whether he's blocking or he's leaking out and he's your outlet. The big target over the middle, if you get a safety that doesn't cover real well or a backer that doesn't cover real well. I mean, just a guy that typically, if he's playing well, that means he's got pretty damn good chemistry with the quarterback. I mean, there's none better than Pat Mahomes and Kelce. I mean, that chemistry, those guys know what the other's going to do before the ball's ever snapped. It's absolutely beautiful. I don't know if Dalton Schultz and whoever the quarterback is for the Texans this year, I don't know how quickly they can get there, but Dalton Schultz is definitely a talented dude that, boy, if they could get that chemistry, he's going to be fun to watch, and you hope they would keep him here longer term than just this year. There's your head coach on the expected number 2 overall draft pick and the biggest 2 ads in free agency. Show, good to hear from the head man now.
It is. Speaking of head coaches, there was a head coach that did something this weekend that is becoming a trend. People are doing it, and I absolutely hate it. Can't wait to hear what side some of you stand on and Clinton Tyler as well. We'll discuss that coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries, so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right. Sorry for jumping the gun there. You just never know with these. Sometimes they do. You have the little intro piece.
I don't think you've done that since I was like first the producer for you guys.
I just sometimes it has an intro piece, sometimes it's just music,
and you get excited.
Somewhere along the line, last week's show when Tyler was out, we actually got an old one of the intros was old. Mm. It wasn't the drive with Sterner and Ugly.
Yeah, I've been telling him to fix that.
Clint Sterner and the show.
And you, I waited for you to say so. You didn't even. You just kept on booking.
I actually did that once an hour every day I was gone.
Oh, did it really?
Yeah.
And your silly tail knows it.
I've been telling him to fix it.
We got a little dilemma. There's a face-off here between the great Mark Berman and the great Brian McTaggart.
A face-off? What's going on?
We got a difference.
Like a media throwdown?
We got a difference in lineups. Off for you what the lineup was going to be for the Astros tonight from Brian McTaggart. He said Jeremy Pena leading off, Alvarez batting second, Bregman third, Abreu, Tucker, McCormick, Jake Myers, Dubon, and Maldonado. Thought like this could be but the potential lineup for the season. Mark Berman has it as Pena leading off, Bregman second, Alvarez third, Abreu, Tucker, Diaz in left field, McCormick, and Dubon, and then Maldonado.
Diaz ain't with the team.
What are the timestamps on those?
Yiner.
And he's where?
Batting sixth in left field.
Because the Astros did put out a lineup a few hours ago, and then 30 minutes or so after that, they put out a different one.
Okay, yeah.
So there is two.
McTaggart's an hour ago, and it looks like Bregman's about an hour.
So which
and a half
one's now. Right, you reckon?
I'm on.
Which one you rolling?
Well, Bregman or Berman's is older. So I'm.
Berman's is newer?
No, Berman's is his was.
Who's the most recent?
The most recent is McTaggart.
I'm gonna roll with McTaggart.
I think I'm gonna roll with McTaggart because they got completely different players in the lineup.
Yeah. What is the Astros starting lineup tonight?
If we go with McTaggart, his is the most recent. Pena, Alvarez, Bregman, Abreu, Tucker, McCormick, Myers, Dubon, and Maldonado.
That's the right one.
That's the right. So I'm kind of excited about this other one, though.
I got a feeling Dusty got a hold of that thing and said, we're going right, left, right out of the gate now.
You know what I mean?
We ain't going right, left. We're going right, left, right out the gate now. What are y'all doing?
You know what I'm saying?
Who put this together?
Diaz, take a seat.
Diaz, now we ain't got time for you, man.
Oh, you think Jake Myers ain't getting in this lineup today?
Slide Jake into center.
Jake's getting in this lineup.
Who'd you say's in right, Tuck?
Yeah, Tucker. Tucker's in the lineup. And he's in both. It was just Jake Myers is the change, and then kind of flip flopping two and three.
What updates would you like?
So that's the lineup. You're sure about that?
I believe so. Just because the tweet you're talking about, McTaggart, says updated Astros lineup.
There you go.
That word gave me it set off alarms in my head. Like this is the one, updated.
Yeah. Pinocchio is getting a start tonight.
Oh, he is?
So, he's got a better lineup around behind him. If you all don't know Pinocchio, I don't believe Forrest Whitley is a real person until he arrives on the scene. He's not a real boy.
I'm a real boy!
But he gets to start with that lineup behind him. So maybe it was Pinocchio's decision.
He needs a big outing tonight, man.
He does. This is it. It's the last one.
Just needs a healthy outing, guys. Let's be real.
Make it hard on him, Forrest.
Just get through the start without any hiccups. How about that?
Yeah. Someone on the text line, Trailer World and Frame, I'm still not used to Stoner and Ugly.
Stoner?
Shove it.
And Ugly.
No, I just...
I don't get it.
Well, the play on Hughley is Ugly. And
some fifth grader somewhere got a hold of someone's cell phone. Stoner and Ugly.
And then they come back with, Ugly, and still spell it wrong. It's a second H, pal.
Man, I bet he was a terror on the playground growing up. You're ugly.
Probably somebody. Said a terror on the playground. Hey, man.
A terror at recess.
Seems like it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's all right, man. I'm sure a lot of people wanted to be around that individual. All right. I was watching the tournament this week, and you can jump in.
Kansas do
as well as A&M did.
I'm sorry, that was uncalled for.
That's all right, man. Yeah, maybe I'll make a bowl game next year.
I hope.
Because that's your sport. But no, 713-572-4610, Trailer Wheel and Frame text line. I'd like to hear your opinion, your thoughts on this. So Kansas State, they were in the Elite Eight, and they ended up losing, obviously, to FAU, who is in the Final Four for the first time. Kansas State coach Jerome Tang, who has done a hell of a job, hell of a job. Honestly, I feel like there's been rumors that maybe Texas was checking in. Maybe that's what took so long on Rodney Terry. Other spots, we'll see how long K-State is able to keep him, but I think he has a bright, bright future, and obviously what he's done in 1 year there shows what he can do. He did something I despise. He felt the need, Clint, to walk over to FAU's locker room and ask for Dusty May, I believe that's that man's name, the coach of FAU, his permission to go in there and talk to his team. As FAU is celebrating going to the Final Four, Jerome Tang left his locker room and went to their locker room. Probably his kids are needing to be consoled as they've lost the biggest game of their life. He bounced over to their locker room to tell the FAU players this.
Toughness, your togetherness, your ability to make plays for each other, right? Like the way you communicate with each other. Nobody can beat y'all, right? Nobody can. So just stay together. Don't get distracted between now and then, all right? Stay locked in. Keep doing what you're doing. Y'all the toughest son of a guns we played all year long. Just proud of y'all. Be rooting
appreciate
for
that.
You, all right?
Man, if you don't stay your ass in your own locker room, there is nothing more than I can't stay. And listen, Jerome, I think, is a good dude. And what he said there wasn't cool. By the way, he started slide into coaching them for just a half a tick there. But, oh, man, I hate that. Stay in your locker room. Coach K does it all the time. Like, stay
get
in your
– get the hell out of here, dude.
Oh, does he? I didn't know Coach K does it all the time.
When I say all the time, he's done it about five or six times. I remember when Mercer took him out, he did it. I think he tried to do it to Carolina last year. Like, don't – like, stay in your locker room. Don't come talk to my kids.
That's weird.
It is. It is just – like, I don't – like, you gotta have the kind of confidence, or even more than confidence, maybe kind of like I do, but kind of have some over-the-top confidence to say, you know what? Those kids in there celebrating going to the Final Four, they want to hear from me.
They need to hear from me.
They need to hear from me. To hell with my kids who are probably falling apart in the locker room, potentially struggling with one of the toughest losses they've ever had in their life. But let me dip over here and let these guys know. I can't. Well, I hate when coaches do that.
Yeah, I don't like it from either angle. I don't like it if we're looking at it from the K-State angle. As you said, I think his players, it's probably better off in there going locker to locker, sitting down with your team maybe and consoling your guys and maybe having some last words with the seniors, you know, kind of thing. And I don't like it. I don't like it if you're FAU's coach. It just seems super corny. It's like, to me, I want to go like, where's your head at to where you just lost that ball game and you want to come talk to my squad when we're over here popping bottles?
Where's like, your head?
I don't like it from either.
Would you say, if you're the coach, would you be like, no?
No, yeah, I'd be like, no, we're good, man.
Because I feel like you don't want to look like an a-hole if you're saying, but I can't, like, what are you doing talking to my team?
I'm very conscious of not looking like or sounding like an a-hole in just generally speaking. This would be one I'd put my foot down. Yeah.
He is. I'm generally not.
Like, consciously. Just because you're soft, Ed. I'm talking about consciously.
I'm just kidding.
No,
I'm typically into trying to be a good dude. Like, this would be one I'd be like, I don't really care what it sounds like. Like, nah, you ain't, you're not coming. I'm good, man. Thank you, though. Yeah. Send me a voice. Send me a post it on Twitter. I'll tell them to look at it and retweet it.
You got to get everything you got out in that handshake line.
Yeah.
The handshake line, you get to talk to every one of the kids.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Like you said, what possessed you in your mind to say, let me leave my kids and go over here?
Yeah.
I just said, has a coach ever done that to you? Mm-hmm. You ever had another coach come into your locker room?
Nope. We never. Not that I ever experienced, that I recall. No. I'm trying to think, like, what's...
Because you got to stop. Those kids had to stop their celebration. They had to stop. It sounded like they had to sit down and listen
to
Tang.
I feel like it almost... The opposite...
Would be more...
Would be more... Like, if I were a coach of a team, and I'm making a run that nobody expected, and I get beat by somebody, and I respect the hell out of their program and their coach, and we're in the locker room afterwards, if that coach were to come in there and go, hey, man, y'all keep y'all's head up, man. Y'all, what y'all have done is second to none, and y'all kicked, you know, y'all killed it. Y'all are some of the toughest sons of guns we ever played on. I would almost, like in that instance, I would probably be willing, but not the – like if I just won, no, partner, I'm good.
Yeah, I don't need you. Stop your celebration because the team that you just beat, his coach wants to come
over
and talk.
Well, who knows what – and again, like you said, Coach Tang, Jerome Tang, I'm sure he's a great guy, but who knows what this guy's going to say?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows? So I don't know. You're putting a lot of trust in them. You're letting them into like a very sacred moment in time and place in that locker room. Yeah, that'd be tough for me, man.
And I ain't going to lie to you, hey. With this transfer portal stuff, I don't want you talking to none of my kids. Like, what you trying? I don't want you to come on, man, that guy's cool,
yeah,
man.
You're at least at the bottom of first class ticket to see you.
Listen to him, man. He came over there and talked to us. Man, he's a cool dude. You know what, man? If I don't get enough time here next year, I'm going.
I'm going
to go to K State. Look how cool that dude is. Stay your ass in your locker room. I feel like there's a couple of kids over there that needed to be hugged that you could have stayed over there and hugged.
Agreed.
All right, coming up. One rule we didn't get to that has been accepted by the NFL and be a new rule that will make the league look a little different. I wonder who's going to be the first Texan player to do it. We'll discuss that coming up.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, well, welcome back into The Drive. A lot of rules were proposed. Some went through, some didn't, Clint. One that we didn't get to talk about is the Eagles proposed this, that players are allowed to wear the number zero, and that's been approved. Did you say there's somebody who's already wanting to do it, Tyler?
Yeah, the only one I've seen so far is Calvin Ridley, Jaguars.
Jacksonville, going to the old zero.
Someone even tweeted out an edit of his jersey in the Jaguars jersey with that zero on it. Looks pretty clean.
I like it.
Do you?
I'm a single-digit guy. I really like single digits, man.
They started doing it in college first. They were letting kids just wear the number zero. Yeah, I'm cool with it.
I like it a lot.
The number?
I like it a lot. And if you're a player that wants to stand out, I mean, I think one is the best number to stand out, has always been the best number to really stand out.
Shout out Nicholas. Lonnie.
That's Nicholas's number.
That's it, number one, huh?
T-ball team.
Zero may overtake it. Zero may overtake it as the...
It certainly stands the hell out.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, if you're a great player, anything, whatever you got on your back is going to stand out. But if you just talk about cats coming out of the locker room, zero's going to jump off that jersey, no question about it. I like it a lot, man.
Yeah, I'm glad they do that. Why not? Let them have it.
Who's going to wear zero here, you reckon?
I was thinking about this.
I think you're thinking what I'm thinking, too?
Maybe.
I don't know. Won't y'all tell us all what y'all are thinking?
That's the number that Kenyon Green moves to?
Oh, God.
Oh, no.
I was thinking there isn't anybody on this roster yet that should be wearing zero.
You think there's anybody?
Jackson Smith and Jigba, if he gets drafted, it's a good zero.
Yeah, no. That's what I'm thinking. A very good, above-average skill player, which hopefully Jigba would be.
I think a I think an inside linebacker would look real, or some sort of linebacker.
Yeah.
And just coming off.
Didn't Overshown at UT, didn't he wear it? Didn't he wear zero?
So, yeah. Yep. There was that, because that's what I think. I think at South Carolina, there's like a bigger cat that wears zero. He's like a linebacker. I think that looks smooth on him. By the way, did you know Tyler wore zero when he played sports?
Did he really?
Well, one sport in particular.
What sport was that?
Motocross.
Did you know Tyler did that?
I wasn't a single zero. I was a double zero.
Were you really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't have Tyler as a motocross guy.
I think Tyler's probably tried everything under the sun.
Well, the motocross thing was like a family deal. My dad grew up racing and doing it, and he was double zero. And,
so you were double zero too?
Yeah, so I was double zero. When me and my little brother got dirt bikes, that was the number plate I got. Double zero.
Trailer Wheel and Frame text line. I would say maybe Davis Mills were zero. I think... That's not, don't do that. But I do think.
I'm going to be wearing the number he's got now.
When Bryce comes in and Brevin Jordan is forced to give up nine, Brevin Jordan takes zero. I like that.
I'm going to tell you,
and
man.
And Robert Woods is taking 10, didn't he? I mean, Mills ain't going to have 10. When the Texans announced Robert Woods, they even said something about his jersey number being number 10. They said, give us that number back,
damn,
Davis.
Is it? Did Davis lose 10?
I mean, that means all you got to do is change the nameplate.
Exactly.
Damn, he lost 10
I'm looking at this. DeMarvion Overshown, that zero's clean.
What position he play?
Linebacker.
Linebacker, yeah. The bigger, yeah.
That's what
bigger,
I'm saying. Yeah. When you said it, I was like, damn, there's a lot. I couldn't think of who it was, but it's him. That looks clean, man. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. What about Christian Harris? Christian can pull it off.
Yeah. Christian's
Jalen Petrie?
Trying to find his way to that eight. Yeah, Jalen can pull it off. Yeah, safeties. Yeah, like bigger, like I think bigger body guys. I like it. That's terrible, guys. Come on, man. Tyler wore number zero because of how much playing time he got. Come on, guys.
Well, first of all, you obviously don't know much about motocross, jackass. Second of all, that's about it. That's just a dumb take. Good job.
Hey, were you any good?
I was going to say, I didn't see it. Okay.
I was all right. My little brother was better.
Yeah, he was bigger. That's probably why. Yeah.
That actually works against you, but he still was.
As soon as I said it, I figured that in my head.
A lot of injuries riding that dirt bike.
Yeah, I bet so. Well, zero right there. Not because Tyler didn't get playing time, because he chose it. Honoring his father. Following in the footsteps.
I wore double zero one time.
Did you?
Yeah, it was an all-star, baseball all-star. So it was kind of
Were you forced to it? They gave you
No,
that?
It was same type deal. They told us, like, hey, somebody can wear double zero if you wanted to, and I chose, and I hated it.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
Wasn't a fan, bub. Uniform, it was slick, too, because it was one of them uniforms. Remember when Rob Dibble wore the sleeveless uniform that time on the mound?
Oh, yeah.
And so after that, we had the button-up sleeveless, and they were clean, boy. I went out there and went double zero for something.
Double zero.
Awful. Terrible decision.
In your mind, you felt it felt good. Huh?
Terrible decision, man.
Yeah, they let you go ahead and do it. All right. This Lamar Jackson situation is getting wild. Ian Rappaport, he has the latest on what's going on with Lamar Jackson. As it got crazy yesterday, requested a trade even more. This is Ian Rappaport, NFL Network.
The Baltimore Ravens situation surrounding Lamar Jackson reached a new level on Monday. Soon as Coach John Harbaugh was sitting down to meet with reporters for the AFC Coaches Breakfast, word came clear from Lamar Jackson on Twitter that he had in fact requested a trade. Less than a month ago, in fact, Jackson's trade request went into the Baltimore Ravens, was unseen and unheard of until Monday. And of course, Harbaugh faced endless questions about what are they going to do with Lamar Jackson and where is the situation going to go? Harbaugh still full-throated support of Lamar Jackson, saying several times, I love him, and talking about how they built their offense around him and how much faith they have in Lamar Jackson as the quarterback. My understanding is, while the trade request was still standing, and over the course of the last week or so, the team and Jackson have negotiated a potential long-term deal, which may show that this is more about business and money as opposed to a relationship that has gone south. He is, in fact, able to talk to teams, able to sign to an offer sheet. That offer sheet has not yet come, so we are still in limbo here. Meanwhile, the Baltimore Ravens still reacting to Jackson's request.
All right, trade request. This was made earlier this month, and wow, yeah, man. I you said it earlier. John Harbaugh makes you feel, if you listen to him, he's kind of got a Lance McCullers deal where he sounds extremely positive about really negative things.
I love him.
But you said it earlier. You think this is it. You don't think
I think it's done.
We've got to a point that both sides know it?
Yes. Yeah, I think both sides probably prefer it at this point in time. I don't buy for 1 minute that the organization is as supportive of Lamar Jackson as their head coach sounds. If that were the case, you'd pay him. If that were the case, he would have an offer of more than 3 years, 133 guaranteed. Like all that smoke and mirrors that was thrown out there, what's come out in the wash is that Lamar Jackson basically felt like he was been offered. When you trim all the fat away from that BS deal that everybody reported, when you trim it all away, true guaranteed money, 3 years, $133 million is what it appears he's been offered. And if this organization felt the way that Harbaugh feels about Lamar Jackson, if the entire organization felt that way, if the front office felt that way, if ultimately the ones that are writing checks, if they felt that way about Lamar Jackson, this would not be a deal. He would be a Baltimore Raven quarterback. He would be under contract for the next 5 years. He would have a big time commitment from the organization in terms of guaranteed money. And this wouldn't be a problem. I'm
leaning towards it.
As a player show, you don't walk in there, especially a guy that's been the face of the organization, a guy that say what you want about Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens. I don't know that I've seen an organization build around one guy's skill set in a time when nobody had done it before, more so than the Ravens did with them. Did they make mistakes along the way? Sure. Maybe did they get the receivers? No. They missed on some receivers. Yada, yada. But they built around dude's skill set. That was a relationship, I would think, like no other. For him to walk in and ask for a trade, like that's not just like, hey, let me go. Hey, I know me and Harbaugh are boys. I know me and the Raven, we're boys, but I'm going to go in there and push it a little bit. I'm going to ask for a trade. Come on, man. Ask for a trade's like, hey, I'm kiss every bit of my tail. Get me up out of here. I don't think at this point in time that this is, I believe that they're beyond the point of return. Yes, I do.
I look at this thing because now it's about, you know, I think Baltimore has the leverage right now, obviously, because
nobody's pursuing him
right now. And what you have to give up to attain him. I do wonder who needs who more. Like, who needs, I mean, we've seen, I mean, he's made first-round money. He got, you know, probably 50-year option, got pretty good money last year. There's $32 million on the table. But, man, they got a brand-new offensive coordinator with a brand-new offense. and they probably need to attract some probably free agents and weapons. Like, we've heard Odell Beckham is there talking to them in the owners' meetings. Yeah. And, like, I just, like, with the disruption of their quarterback situation, like, how far is Baltimore willing to take this
look,
this year?
I think the answer to your question is easy. Baltimore needs him more than he needs Baltimore.
Right.
Because here's the deal, and this is the dilemma, if we're being completely honest, is like, Baltimore needs him because with him, whether your offensive coordinator is worth a flip or not, whether you sign a receiver that's a difference maker or not, you're going to be a fringe playoff team. Lamar Jackson being on that field is going to get you the last 2 weeks of the season, you're going to be playing for a playoff spot one way or another. At the very least.
It's a floor, yeah.
Without Lamar Jackson, there's a good chance you ain't even sniffing it. If we're being completely honest, the odds of them transitioning from Lamar Jackson to a more prototypical quarterback or just a quarterback that doesn't have the skill set of Lamar Jackson, which nobody else does, then they're going to take a step back. Pittsburgh's going to get better. Cleveland's getting better. I mean, they're going to take a step back. So I would say Baltimore needs Lamar more than Lamar needs Baltimore. But at the same time, it's the question with him is, you know, can he do enough to get you beyond that fringe first-round playoff guy? They've had a great supporting cast outside, again, of missing on the receivers. They've had unbelievable tight ends. They put up huge numbers. So it's hard to sit here and say, well, they never gave him a receiver. Well, he put up unbelievable numbers, passing production.
Without receivers.
So, I mean, whatever they were doing was working, right? You've built around the dude, and he's played out of his mind And you still didn't get there. So it's just a double-edged sword of like, what do you invest in?
There's a lot to with Lamar too, Clint. Because listen, I'll say this: I think Lamar is a great player, and I would. There are certain teams, Atlanta, with their coaching staff, I would do it. Indy, with their coaching staff, I would do it. Easy. Washington, with their coaching staff, I would do it. I don't think you can just do it with any coaching staff, with any coach, because I do think it has to be together. I wonder, all right, if I play on this $32 million, like, what's it going to look like in the Todd Monken offense for me? Yeah. In a year where I'm trying to show, like, I'm
this
worth
it.
Like,
new
what's
offense,
it going to look like in that? Like, it's something else that he has to think about, too, of, like, what's this – like, in my big money year, do I put together MVP, you know, like type of year, which, you know, if he does that, then he's got a lot of leeway there.
Full-throated support. Did either of y'all know what full-throated support meant? Never heard it.
Never heard it.
I don't like it.
Expressed or characterized by unreserved enthusiasm or conviction.
I would think, Tyler, you'd be behind full-throated support.
Well, am I the one with the full-throated support, or is someone else giving the full-throated support?
Yeah, it's about that time. Coming up, 5 o'clock fire, the latest on the Houston Rockets and his coach. Wait till you hear what reports are saying he did earlier this year, and some last-minute decisions for the Astros. A catcher maybe that you didn't think would be on the opening day roster is. We'll tell you what that is coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.